From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Joe Parker, Johnny, Surety Mutual.
Oh, hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
A gorgeous doll named Dolly McLean. Remember?
Sure. The Champagne Dream Girl.
Yeah.
Dancing darling of the Roaring Twenties. Finally married Barnaby Cronin, didn't she?
Right. And for a wedding present, he bought her the Circle of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
One of the five most beautiful necklaces in the world. Diamonds and emeralds. Worth a half a million. It's been lying in a bank vault for the last 10 years since Barnaby died. We carry the insurance.
So?
She's coming out of seclusion, Johnny, giving a party. Just like the old days, she says. May go on for a week. Her last fling. And she's going to wear the Circle of Fire.
Uh-oh.
Get the picture? Gallons of champagne, everything mixed up, crazy. And that old lady with a half million bucks around her neck. Target.
You've got a problem, Joe.
Johnny, we've got a problem.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Surety Mutual and Trust Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during investigation of the Cronin matter. Item 1, $14.80. Transportation to New York and to the apartment of America's one-time dream girl. One time, a long time ago.
How do you do?
I'm Johnny Dollar. I believe Mrs. Cronin is expecting me.
I'm Mrs. Cronin, and yes, I am expecting you. Won't you come in?
Oh, thanks.
I did have butlers and maids and such for years, scads of them. But since Barnaby passed away, I've just hibernated, you might say. Oh, in here, Mr. Dollar.
Thank you.
10 years now in this same little apartment. As you can see, I've just been living like a little mouse.
That looks very comfortable.
Oh, I suppose it's comfortable enough, but... Oh, Sylvia, I'd forgotten you were still here.
Mm-hmm. But not for long, Mrs. Cronin.
Oh, no. Please stay. We'll have some tea or sherry or something as soon as... Oh, you two, do you know each other?
No, I'm afraid we don't.
Oh, but of course not. How could you? Sylvia, this is Mr. Dollar. Miss Blake.
How do you do, Miss Blake?
Hello.
Mr. Dollar's here to talk to me about... well, something or other. I'm not quite sure what, as a matter of fact.
It won't take but a few minutes. If Miss Blake would excuse us.
Sure. Go ahead. Have at it.
Well, if you'll come this way, Mr. Dollar. Don't you leave now, Sylvia.
Not a chance. I just spotted your bottle of tea. I'll have one or two with soda, if you don't mind.
With soda? Oh, I see what you mean. You young people. In here, Mr.
Mr. Dollar. You by any chance, Johnny Dollar?
Yeah, that's right. Why, Miss Blake?
Just wondering. Well, he's looking at you. And, brother, I wouldn't be in your shoes for $1 million.
No? How about $500,000?
That, I'll admit, might interest me.
Well, shall we?
After you, Mrs. Cronin.
Thank you. Wonderful girl, a born comedian.
Yeah, she's a scream. What is she, an actress?
Oh, no, no, she writes things for magazines and things like that. Sit down, Mr. Dollar. She came to interview me one time. That's how I met her.
I see.
She wrote a piece about my necklace, the Circle of Fire.
Sylvia Blake, oh, sure. Articles about gems, famous stones, jewel robberies.
That's her. Oh, she's fascinated by the subject. She's coming to my party.
Oh?
Why don't you come to my party, Mr. Dollar?
Fine, I'd love to. In fact, that's why I'm here.
Oh?
Joe Parker over at Surety Mutual is kind of worried about this party, Mrs. Cronin. He's afraid you might invite people like me.
What?
I mean, people you don't know.
You're a detective.
In a way.
I told Joseph how I felt about that. He's not going to send any detectives around snooping into things, spying on my guests, wearing the hats in the house.
Huh?
Oh, not that you're like that, of course. But it's the principle of the thing.
Well, wouldn't you have a better time at your party if you knew you were safe?
Mr. Dollar, it was at a party that Barnaby gave me the Circle of Fire. Our wedding reception. There were over 2,000 guests. 1,000 of them invited. And we danced. Oh, we danced all night. And the necklace was beautiful. And I was beautiful. Back then.
True, but...
And then afterward, at 4 o'clock in the morning, we drove through the park in a hansom. Just the two of us. And the driver, of course. And I wore the circle. And I was safe, Mr. Dollar. I was perfectly safe.
Maybe you were just lucky that night.
Barnaby was so wonderful. And he could make living so wonderful.
Well, I don't doubt it. He was probably a man who could manage things pretty skillfully.
He was running 2 railroads and a bank all at the same time.
Then I imagine he had no trouble arranging for your safety without even letting you know about it.
You mean guards all around?
It's possible.
Yes, it is. He was like that. He never wanted anything to worry me. All right, Mr. Dollar. You win.
Good.
But it's only because of one reason. I like you. And I want you at my party.
Thank you, Mrs. Cronin.
Oh, you're going to love every minute of it. It's up in the Adirondacks. Our old summer place. Joseph told you, I suppose.
Yes, he did.
Mrs. Cronin.
And the people I've invited. Hundreds, literally. People I knew in the old days. Of course, a lot of them won't come, but... You know, it was strange. So many of the letters came back undelivered.
Mrs. Cronin.
Oh, Sylvia, I didn't hear you. Come here.
I'm the sneaky type. You've got a visitor. Says he's an old friend.
Really? Well, I suppose I'd better see you. You'll excuse me, Mr. Dollar.
Sure, go ahead.
You and Sylvia talk to each other.
I brung the bottle in case you're interested.
Short on the soda.
Right. She's on a cloud by herself. Of course, some of the invites to the party were undelivered. Those beautiful people had a habit of dying young. Say when.
When? Who's the visitor?
I'll guess with you. Looks like an overgrown leprechaun. Said his name was Shorty Weber.
Shorty Weber?
You know him?
I know of him. An old-time song and dance man, among other things.
She probably worked in a show with him back in those dear, dead days. Anyway, he's got an invite clutched in his sweaty little palm. Another freeloader, I suppose.
Aren't we all?
I am, yes. Not you, though. You're working your way.
Isn't that what you're doing, one way or another?
Meaning?
A magazine article, just in case. Written right on the spot. Attempted theft of the Circle of Fire. Clever jewel
thief. Why do you say attempted?
I'm working my way, remember?
Sure, I remember. But it won't be attempted, Johnny. Somebody's going to get that necklace before the weekend is over. I'll bet on it.
Would you care to name any names?
Pick a name off the guest list. Any name.
Suppose I pick Sylvia Blake.
You're the detective.
You've dug up and written up every big-time jewel theft over the last 50 years. You're bugged on the subject, obsessed with beautiful gems.
Fits my personality. I'm rather beautiful, too, in a brittle and glittering sort of way. Don't you think so, Johnny?
I think you work pretty hard at that tough act.
Maybe.
And I think you'd give your right arm to own that necklace.
Going after that would really be going for the big one. Going for broke. And somebody will do it, Johnny. Wait and see.
She left a few minutes later with the bottle under her arm and a chip on her shoulder. With the girl gone and the scotch gone, there seemed to be no point in me hanging around any longer. So I went looking for Mrs. Cronin to say goodbye. I didn't find her, but I did find her caller, Shorty Weber. He didn't hear me come into the room. He was too busy. He was hunched over Mrs. Cronin's writing desk going through her mail. You won't find it there, Shorty.
Who's that?
Hold it, Shorty. Don't try to reach for it.
I wasn't going to. Honest, I wasn't.
Turn around. Put your hands up against the wall.
You got me all wrong. I wasn't going to
do it. Relax.
I was just 38,
stub barrel, clip holster. Nice gun.
It belongs to a friend of mine.
Bad business, Shorty. An ex-con packing a gun.
Oh, I guess you're Johnny Dollar. She said you was here. And I know what you're thinking, Mr. Dollar, but you're wrong. Why, Dolly, Mrs. Cronin... She's an old friend of mine. I tried to get her to marry me once over 30 years ago.
A lot can happen in 30 years. Does she know you've served time in prison?
No. She thinks I was on tour, Europe and Australia. She never reads a paper or hears anything. Don't tell her, Mr. Dollar. Please don't.
You know, it's quite a coincidence, Shorty. It was Jules that time. A big affair in New Orleans. And you were hired as an entertainer. A diamond bracelet, wasn't it? And you were caught cold.
It's the only time in my life I ever done anything like that. And I wouldn't again. Not, especially not to her. Why, I'm planning to look out for her at this party. That's why I bought the gun.
And is that why you were going through her mail there?
Yeah. I wanted to see who was coming. I learned things while I was doing time. I know how the word gets around in a big deal like this. There's a lot of wrong guys in this world.
No argument, Shorty.
Yeah, well, you met her. You know how she is. She's a babe in the woods on something like this.
Did my ears be burning, or is it some other babe you mean?
Not for me, Dolly. You're the only babe I ever could see.
Oh, Shorty, you never give up. Oh, do you two know each other?
Not exactly, but we found we had a mutual friend. A certain state prison warden.
How nice. Shorty's always doing benefits at those places.
Dolly,
Yeah, that was it. He did a benefit there.
Oh, well, I'll bet you weren't over big.
Well, you know.
You're too modest, Shorty. Why, they loved him, Mrs. Cronin. Hated to let him leave.
Yeah. Well, speaking of leaving, I got a shove now. Don't take any wooden nickels.
It was crazy and corny and sad. The whole idea. I guess the sadness of it hit me when I was saying goodbye to Mrs. Cronin at the door. The gaiety slipped for a moment, and suddenly she was old and tired. And at the same time, she was a scared little girl. And then she said something strange, and the shivers ran up my back.
Do you believe in premonitions, Johnny?
Well, I have a hunch now and then.
Well, whatever it is, it's the reason I'm doing this, having this party. One last fling, you might say, before it's too late.
Oh, come now. You're still a young woman, Mrs. Cronin.
No. I'm old, Johnny. I've been old for years, since Barnaby died. We loved each other so, but that's not what I mean. I've had this premonition lately.
What sort of a premonition?
That something awful, something terrible is going to happen to me.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Cronin matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow. A man who's afraid of his shadow, a girl who's afraid of nothing, and a stranger who strikes in the dark. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.